We're in Exodus chapter 18, and I'll read verses 1 through 12. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the Mount of God, at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. At the very beginning of this chapter, Jethro is introduced as the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law. And then in the rest of the chapter, we don't read any more about him being the priest of Midian, but 13 times he's called Moses' father-in-law. And so he changes from being the priest in Midian to being Moses' father-in-law. That's how he's identified from now on. He's identified because of his relationship to Moses, who's known for his relationship to God. And that's why I titled this Moses' Family and Their Faith, because it's Moses' family that is pictured here. And we start here, though, with Jethro. He is the priest of Midian, and he is Moses' father-in-law. And I could ask the question, who was this man? Well, a man whom Moses met and attached himself to during the worst time of Moses' life. If you remember, right before Moses met this man Jethro, Moses had killed an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew. Back in chapter 2, it says, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Verse 11, and then what did he do? He murdered this Egyptian. And then a little later, he finds out, the next day actually, he found out that this murder was known in verse 2:14, and he fled Egypt and came to Midian, and in Midian he sat by a well. It says in verse 2:14, Moses is trying to stop an argument between two Hebrew brothers, and one of them says to him, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And so Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And he came and he went to the well. He ran from Egypt. And he was sitting at the well, and that's where he met Reuel, which is another name for Jethro. It's the same person. His seven daughters. And Moses was content to live with Reuel and his daughters. And he was given Zipporah as his wife. Verse 18 through 21 in Exodus 2, it says, "When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How is it that you have come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds.'" Note, he delivers the daughters, and then later he's going to deliver Israel. "And from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. So he said to his daughters, 'And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him and that he may eat bread.' Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah his daughter to Moses." Notice, he had seven daughters. It doesn't mention that Reuel or Jethro had any sons. And he was probably, you know, his condition being like that was probably like a lot like Israel, because their sons were being thrown into the river. And we don't know for sure how long that went on, but we know there probably were a lot more daughters in Israel than there were sons. We know him to be the priest of Midian, and that meant he was either an idol worshiping priest, and if you do what I did and you look at the commentators, about half of them say, "Oh, he had to be an idol worshiping heathen," and then about half of them say, "Oh, he had to be a godly man, and he had to be one of the rare people that followed God in Midian," even though the Midianites were idol worshippers. And so some say he was godly and some say he was not godly. And whether he was converted or not, we know by chapter 18 he is converted, because he says in chapter 18, verse 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behave proudly, he was above them." And so we don't know. I don't think whether Jethro was converted or not beforehand, whether he was a priest of the living God and true God, or he was an idol worshiper. But we know that by chapter 18, either he grew in his faith or he was converted. He is a believer by chapter 18. Now, point number two, if Jethro was unconverted until chapter 18 of Exodus, you could ask the question, was Moses' wife, Jethro's daughter Zipporah, also unconverted when they first got married? You know, you would think that Moses would have married a godly believer. But if you think back to that time, you know, he didn't have the passage in Corinthians that says, "Do not be unequally yoked." And he didn't really have any of the Bible, since he wrote Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And I believe God would have, you know, told him to do what is right and good. But maybe he didn't. And we also see, you know, some commentators conjecture that Zipporah and the children left Moses, which they did at some point. We don't know for sure when they did, because Scripture doesn't tell us. But some say that they left Moses at the point which is mentioned in chapter 4, which is the last time we've heard of them all being together. I mean, the wife and the children. It says in Exodus 4:24 through 26, "And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him," meaning Moses. "Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son," which is, I believe, Gershom at that point, "and cast it at Moses' feet and said, 'Surely you are a husband of blood to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision.'" If you look at the tone of that, it sounds like she's angry with Moses. "You're a husband of blood. I'm cutting the..." And you could ask the question, why wasn't Moses' son circumcised before this time? He's a Hebrew. They were circumcised. You know, he understood that. Why to this point when God confronts them? Well, it could have been that Moses was, you know, living with the priest of Midian and maybe going along with at least some of their rules, even though he believed in the living God. We don't know. We don't know because there's little told about that time. And even if he wasn't going along with him, was he really walking with the Lord if he didn't circumcise his children? You know, how devoted was Moses at this time? Moses met his wife and father-in-law shortly after committing murder, as we read in Exodus 2:11 and 12. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he saw, and I'm skipping some words here, but he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. So he had killed that Egyptian, and after he did that and he found out that it was known that he had killed the Egyptian, he ran away, and he ends up in Midian. And it says, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And now we know the well is mentioned because that's where Moses meets Jethro's daughters, and that's how he gets married. But I think it also, you know, I picture Moses. He just killed somebody. He's just been chased out of Egypt. And he's sitting at that well. And I picture him there sitting. You know, what's just happened? And what's going on in my life? And where am I? He's not at the top of life. He's at kind of at the bottom of life. He's been chased away from all his family, everybody who knew him. And he's kind of a fugitive. And it's in that situation that he ends up marrying Jethro's daughter, who happened to be one of the daughters that happened to be by that well. And Moses stayed there for quite a time, living with them. And Moses started moving back toward God, I'd say, at the burning bush, which was some time later. And it's after the burning bush, as he's on his way towards Egypt, that his son is circumcised. And so we see this. We don't know for sure. It doesn't say. I'm guessing that she was converted. But we don't know for sure who Zipporah was, or that her father Jethro was. And then Moses also had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. It says in chapter 18 again, with her two sons, notice Jethro is bringing them back to Moses. And most people think that they left after that argument over circumcision. Either Moses thought it would just be safer for his family to be in Midian rather than in Egypt when he's confronting Pharaoh. Or maybe the argument was such that they kind of split up. Some commentators even say they divorced. That I don't think they divorced, because there's no mention of that at all. And yet, that's the circumstance. And they're gone. And she also could have left in any time in between there, too. You know, she might have just left as they were leaving Egypt. She might have decided to go see her family rather than travel with the group and then came back to them. But we don't know that. And it says that he came, meaning Jethro, with her two sons, and the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And here again, it's interesting to conjecture, when were these two sons born? Because when we read about one of them being circumcised, it only uses the singular son, not both of them being circumcised. And that was right before Moses was entering into Egypt to confront Pharaoh. And then we hear about neither of them. And Gershom is easy to figure out. He was born to Moses and Zipporah while they were in Midian. I have been a stranger in a foreign land. But Eliezer is more difficult. He's the second born. It seems he's not mentioned as Moses, Zipporah, and their son are traveling towards Egypt. And so I'm thinking he's not born yet. Or maybe he's the one that was circumcised. Maybe he was just born at that time. But then why isn't the other son mentioned as circumcised? And why is circumcision this, oh, bad thing that, oh, bloody man you are. If he had, she'd done it before, she'd be used to it. So I think that it was Gershom that was circumcised. And figuring that way, if they were separated soon after that, she must have already conceived, you know, Eliezer. And Moses, and in addition to that, Moses was delivered from the sword of Pharaoh, you could say, when he was born, because they were killing all the babies. In that sense, he was delivered, but it wasn't really the sword because they were throwing them into the river. Or what I think, however, the full deliverance, which happened ultimately when Moses with Israel crossed the Red Sea, that's when he was really delivered from Pharaoh. And we do not read of Zipporah, Gershom, and especially not Eliezer from Exodus 4 when we had Zipporah and you know, Gershom at all before this point. We don't read of Eliezer. This is his first mention in Scripture. So I think she had conceived Eliezer before they separated. And Eliezer must have been born. There was about a year there that Moses was battling with Pharaoh. And then there was a few more months after that. And I think maybe even when they met, maybe he named him then, you know, Eliezer, because, you know, he had been delivered from the sword of Pharaoh. That's my guess on this. My guess is Eliezer was conceived as Moses. Then three-member family traveled toward Egypt. He was born while Moses was in Egypt and seemingly without his family and named after Israel's leaving Egypt after they had their exodus, because there's a victorious name there. Gershom is kind of, well, he's the son I had while I was a stranger in a foreign land. That's what his name means. And so we might figure that way. And then fourthly, even if Moses, Zipporah, and Jethro all had strong faith, even before the Exodus, it would be stronger now, wouldn't it? And they would have all grown stronger. It says in verse 5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons, meaning Moses' sons, and his wife, Moses' wife, to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now when he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to the Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. All the hardship. Can you imagine that stories he was telling? I mean, Moses was not an eloquent man, but he definitely had the material. if he had trouble speaking, he definitely had something to speak about. And it says, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behave proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So here we see Moses' father-in-law and his family have come back to him. You know, Moses has just won. He and Joshua have won victory over Amalek. And Moses-in-law heard about these things. And so he's coming to see Moses. Imagine what it would be like to be the father-in-law. Last time you saw Moses, he was going back to Egypt. Remember what he said to his father-in-law? To check and see if the Israelites are still alive, if they're still there. And he comes back with 6 million people. He's got a crowd with him. It's not just Moses and his family. It's this whole big group. There's no doubting something happened big time here. So he's come back, 600,000 is probably more like it, 600,000 men plus women and children. 6 million, maybe a little of an exaggeration. But still, it's more than one person or two or three people, him and Aaron. Moses met him with great affection, verse 7. He kissed him. He bowed down like they traditionally did at those times. Moses told him what God had done, 18:8, starting with deliverance from Pharaoh and from Egypt, but also including the hardships in the wilderness that they'd already experienced, you know, the days without food or without water, and how God had provided for them through all those things. And I'm not going to go back on those things because we already studied those. But Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, verse 9, he rejoiced. Verse 10, he blessed God. Verse 11, he professed knowledge of God's greatness. And he professed, I believe he's professing faith. Even if he hasn't believed before, he says, now I do believe that your God, the Lord, is the greatest of all gods. He put down the Egyptian god. If you remember when we studied the different Egyptian gods, each of them had a realm that they kind of had control over. And it was in those particular realms that God was defeating each one of them, showing them to be false gods, showing them not to be true at all. And Moses must have told his father-in-law in great detail about those things, because the father-in-law, Jethro, says that. He says, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. And so Moses' father-in-law knows these things. And then he offered sacrifices and he fellowshipped with God's people. Aaron and the elders of Israel all gathered now. It's not just a family gathering. Now it's a church gathering, you could say, because the elders of Israel are there. Aaron, as the priest of God's people, is there, or the future priest. And so we see that at this point, he's definitely a believer. If he wasn't before, he may have been a believer all through this whole thing. It's just that we don't know that. And later we read in the book of Joshua, which comes much later, Joshua writes, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we see Moses and his house now are, whatever they were before, they're serving the Lord at this point, including Moses' father-in-law, who may have been a priest of other gods, but now he's Moses' father-in-law, and he's going to worship and serve the Lord. And I imagine, you know, when we read about Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Moses' daughter, I mean his wife, Zipporah, who was Jethro's daughter, I believe would have been following Moses at this point as well as the two children, the two boys. They were serving the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage, which gives us a little glimpse in Scripture into Moses' family. We don't know a lot about his family. We know what his wife's name was, what his son's names were. We know about his father-in-law. We know of his father and mother who were godly believers, who his mother who put him in the basket to float in the Nile, and father, his sister, we know Miriam, who loved you, and his brother Aaron. And Father, we thank you for that family, and we pray, and we see there may have been sometimes in his family when they weren't all with you, and yet in the end you brought them all around. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, and we pray for our own families. We pray for salvation of those who don't know you. And Father, we thank you that you work in ways beyond what we can work and do things beyond what we can do. And you're able to do great and mighty things. What a thing it must have been for Jethro to see all these people saved from Egypt where they were slaves, and his own son-in-law being the one who did it. The same person he met sitting on a well. Well, his daughters met that way. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you can do great and mighty things. And we thank you for your many blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.